You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose on all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, March 8th, and today we've got Adam Crowley on the show. We're going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger's new contract a little bit more, where the Steelers are going, that more of that discussion, and of course, play some mock draft Monday. You'll get Adam's insights on what he thinks about the top of the draft, more insights on me on players that would fit into the Steelers, and of course, the winner of you, the listeners, who had the best mock draft of the day. We're going to get into that all in today's show. Of course, you can always subscribe to this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio.com, anywhere podcast hosts hosted. Leave us a five-star review with a positive comment to help the show out on Apple Podcasts. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20, that's LOCKEDON20, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Go to BuiltBar.com today. Let's get into it. So as always, on Mondays here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, we've got Mock Draft Monday. We'll be getting to that in just a little bit. But today, joining me on the show, it's a former host of Locked On Steelers himself, a radio legend here in Pittsburgh, a good friend of mine, Adam Crowley, back on the show. Adam, great to have you back, Crow man.
I'm jacked up, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
Same here. I'm jacked to have you here. Before we get into Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, I have to acknowledge something. I didn't get to say it at the end of the show because it happened after I recorded. But Adam, you and I are in the Pittsburgh Media March Madness bracket yet again. You and I are low seeds.
Low seeds.
We are being underestimated. I think you're a 13 seed and you drew Arthur Motes or something like that.
Yes.
I'm a 15 seed and I drew Bob Pompiani. I feel like we're being disrespected here by Joey Bag of Donuts. I don't think he takes us seriously enough in Pittsburgh media.
Look, first of all, I love Joey Bag of Donuts. He's a breath of fresh air in what is just a cesspool that is social media and Twitter.com. That being said, what a woefully seeded bracket, just an absolute disaster. And I got to call him out even further because something hilarious happened here.
Okay.
Joey posted his bracket. Matt Gaika responded saying, there's not enough women. There's never enough women. It's very sad. Not calling out Joey, but just calling out the Pittsburgh media market in general. Joey then deleted the tweet. And then, bam, new bracket came out in the same region, but there were five women in there. The men that were there got yanked out. Joey succumbed to the pressure. I'm happy he did, but I caught it. I saw it happen in real time. I don't think he knows anybody noticed.
I had no idea. Yeah. Wow. Adam Crowley getting the scoops on Pittsburgh sports news as always. Like that's amazing. I had no idea about that.
He's doing the right thing.
Yes, he is.
Didn't do it at first.
Right.
Joey.
Right. I know he's listening. He's a big fan of the show. We love you, Joey. But in all seriousness, listen, Locked On Steelers listeners, if you weren't with us when we did this last year, I was ranked the 16th seed. I was up against Colby Armstrong, a one seed. I had no chance to make it. And y'all got me to the final four with all your votes. So get on Twitter. Go to Joey Bag of Donuts. Go to my Twitter, at Carter Critiques. Vote for me. Vote for Adam. Vote for Wes Euler. He's up against Mark Madden. We're up against all the moguls, the young guys here. They're trying to count us out. But vote for us as we push our way through this March Madness tournament. And like last year, I promise you, if I win this year's championship, I will do a shot of tequila on air for every percentage point I win the championship round by. Yes. I gave you guys a consolation prize last year of just doing three shots because you got me to the final four. But this year, you got to get me all the way. I need your help. So Locked On Steelers listeners, tell your friends, tell your compadres, tell your followers, vote for me. We going all the way. We got to take down Bob Pompiani. We are juggernaut crushers. That's what we do out here, Adam Crowley. Anyway.
Yeah, let me tell you something about Pomp. I like Pomp too, but he's like Bama. I'm a little tired of this
right?
guy.
right?
I feel like I know what Pompeiani can bring to the table at this point. I'm done with it. We need the new blood. We need the young blood. We need the Carter blood. Now, it's me against Arthur Motes. Just vote for Motes. It's fine. But we're getting Carter to move on. And I will happily lose to Arthur Motes, the body.
The body. Anyways, but that's our joke for the week. Do check out Pittsburgh Media March Madness. It's fun. But let's talk about the Steelers, of course, because that's what we're supposed to be doing here, Adam. But Ben Roethlisberger, of course, getting his new deal at the end of last week. Adam, there are so many different takes about this. People are coming out on national media saying, oh, this is bad for the Steelers. This isn't the Steelers' way anymore. They're just hanging on to nothing. I don't get the idea of hanging on to nothing. I don't understand where that comes from. This team can compete with him on it. You know, does it make them a top five Super Bowl competitor? No. But losing him didn't exactly help them either. I don't get this need to push that idea.
Yeah, and I filled in for Mark Madden on Friday, I think that it was, the day after Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers came to terms. And I thought, okay, how can I come down on this differently? How can I come down and have a take that no one else has had one way or the other on Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers coming to terms? And boy, try as I might to get worked up one way or another, and I thought that I would, I couldn't. And that's the worst place to be as a radio host, going into a show not having a strong opinion. My opinion on Ben is this: it gives them the best chance to win in 2021. It doesn't kill them in terms of the salary cap moving forward, and I thought that there would be a chance that it might. So if you're against it, I don't think you have a legitimate reason to be against it, apart from you thought you would be against it from the beginning. If Ben's contract would have screwed the Steelers for 2022, 2023, I would have been outspoken against it. But it doesn't. And they still have some cap space because he gets the $15 million reduction, you know, in air quotes, to help the team this year. How can you be against it? The only thing that I could think of is if the Steelers really want to give Mason Rudolph a shot, and we're going to give it to him this year, and now we're going to give it to him next year instead, I guess you're kicking the problem down the road a little bit, but I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think the Steelers starting quarterback next year, not this upcoming season, but the following, is a guy that we don't know who it's going to be. It's not going to be Mason Rudolph. So if you have a problem with it, I don't understand. I don't know how you could be that worked up. It doesn't screw the Steelers. It doesn't ruin their eventual turning to the future. It's a good thing for both parties, because Ben was going to make no money. Now he makes 14. Everyone should be happy. Fireworks, baby. Let's go. Confetti.
I feel like this was everything that you're supposed to get out of this deal. You cleared the cap space for this room. You know, even if you use the most modest projections for what the salary cap will be, they've cleared their cap obligations. Now they can just do more things to get even more clear. But there's some, I was talking to Cody Work of Locked On Broncos, and there's talk that the salary cap could go up to like even as high as $193 million, which would put the Steelers in a much better situation than anyone would have predicted. So I don't buy into this idea it's doom and gloom. And I think some people, like you said, some people thought it was going to be, and so they're just sticking with it just to right. make it seem like they're right all along. But you know, again, like you said, who are they getting right now that's going to be better than Ben Roethlisberger for their system, that doesn't break their bank and or force them to cough up a whole bunch of draft picks? And then on top of that, Art Rooney said if Ben wasn't back, they'd have to add to the quarterback room anyways. That's not a sign of confidence that they want Mason Rudolph to be a starter right now. Maybe they still think that someday he could be Bubby Brister, but right now, they're still like, nah, that ain't the path of Pittsburgh right now.
Right. And if this precluded the Steelers from, let's say, trading for a Sam Darnold or drafting a quarterback in the first round, I could understand why you would be annoyed. But they wanted to get something done with Ben here if the money would work out, meaning that this is what they would have rather done than go get a Sam Darnold or do something else. So It sounds like the Steelers feel like this is their best chance to make the playoffs and potentially make a run this year. I think they could be a playoff team. And if Mason Rudolph were the quarterback, I don't see the Steelers as a club that would have sucked this year. Mm-hmm. And thus, they weren't going to be picking in the top 10 next year.
Right.
They weren't going to be picking in the top 5. So this isn't an organization that rebuilds. This is an organization that retools and tries to tinker on the fly. Again, no matter how you slice it, I haven't heard a great argument for why bringing Ben back this year is a bad thing.
Maybe someone else, maybe someone's got one out there. If you do, hit me up at Carter Critiques. Let me know if you think it's crazy, and I'll tell you why you're wrong. That's what we do here in the sports media business. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I got to talk to the Crown Man about his mock draft prospects and what he's looking at here for the Steelers, who he values. But first, we got to talk to our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag, the only place that we trust here in the Locked On Podcast Network to place bets on. Even though football season's over, there's a ton of different ways to make money by gambling on sports right now. If you go to BetOnline.ag today and sign up for your free account, you'll get a 50% bonus to your first deposit simply by entering the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters and all one word. And that will get you your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Right now, sure, the NFL's done, but you can put money down on where certain free agents might be going in the NFL. You can also bet on college basketball, the NBA, and the NHL. All different ways to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. BetOnline.ag. Remember, use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, to get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Adam Crowley of iHeartRadio. Adam, so everyone's going to be talking for the next 2 months about who do the Steelers take in the draft. Do they take a lineman? Do they take a running back? Do they go up and get a quarterback? Do they keep loading up on defense? Do they draft a kicker in the first round? No one actually said that. But I've made my point clear. I am always a best player available guy. Yeah. If a top five tackle falls to you, get the top five tackle. If the best running back's there and your top tackles are gone, go get that guy. If there's a superstar defensive player that you didn't think would fall to that part, go get him. But it's all about who the Steelers believe in their war room is the best option. What's your overall analysis on where the Steelers should be looking?
I'm 100% with you, man. And I've been running a whole bunch of mock draft simulations the last couple of days, and I always go with the player that I think is best. And if it's a quarterback, I go with a quarterback. If it's a running back, I go with a running back. I'm not in love with drafting running backs in the first round, but if you can get one that's dynamic enough, then that player's obviously a difference maker. And the Steelers have a big weakness there, obviously. And that's the thing. If you are this juggernaut of a team that is an inside linebacker away, you think, from winning the Super Bowl, by all means, draft an inside linebacker. If that's what you want to do, fine. But the Steelers, they have holes to me at inside linebacker, offensive line, running back. If they drafted a wide receiver, it wouldn't surprise me, although I'm not necessarily in love with that. I mean, the list goes on and on. If they want to take a safety, if they want to take another edge rusher, fine. They've got enough holes that, to me, the best player available is the way to go. Now, in a perfect world for me, in my top two rounds, the best player available would be an offensive lineman. I would love for that to happen. Mm-hmm. I would love for them to take an offensive lineman with their first two picks. I think you could really make a huge step forward, not just in the future, but this year if you do that. But I'm with you largely, man, that when you're a team with a lot of needs, you take the best player available. If it's close, okay, fine. If you prioritize one position over another, I get that. But I'm with you on best player available.
It makes the most sense to me. And what I also want to remind people is the person who we think is the best player available most likely is still not the actual best player available. That always comes down to what your scouting departments put the work in on, who they value, and where they see the best move coming. Because every year there's guys who we think are first round grades, third round grades, second round grades, and then you talk to like the actual people that work in scouting departments. They're like, oh no, we had this guy as a fourth round grade, or this guy as a first round grade, and right. It's completely different. We're like, wait, what? That's not what PFF and Pro Football Network and the Draft Network and all these networks keep telling us every week. You know, there's consensus picks that I think everyone could agree on. Like everyone's saying that. You know, Najee Harris is easily at least one of the top backs. And, you know, everyone's saying Penei Sewell is going to be the first offensive tackle off the board in the top five of the NFL draft. Like, those are things that everyone can agree on. But there's always times when the Steelers, when every NFL draft department, when they're looking at talent and they're ranking who their priorities are, there's going to be times where that's different than what we think. And that's what I try to remind people on draft day when they're like, what? That's not what I thought.
Yeah, man, and I've done a show the day after the draft for a long time now, mm-hmm. and you always get Steelers fans that freak out, and this happens, I would imagine, in every single market, but here you get Steelers fans that freak out that say, well, McShay had this guy as the 40th player available, and the Steelers took him 22nd, oh my God, and, well, Todd McShay said this, and Mel Kiper said that. And Mike Mayock works for the Raiders, but whatever. Daniel Jeremiah said this, and, you know, Kevin Colbert's pretty good at this too. Like, why do I just think that because Mike Mayock said something back when he worked for the NFL Network, that his ranking has to matter more than Kevin Colbert's of the Pittsburgh Steelers? You know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. It's not an exact science. It's like, you know, Joe Lunardi says such and such is a 4 seed. And then the NCAA selection committee is like, yeah, actually we have them as the first 3. And it's like, you don't know. Some people value different things. And it's always fascinating to me, and I'm sure we'll do it because it's what we do. You get the grades the day after.
Oh, yes.
And they got an A. You know, no one's played a snap in the NFL, but right. They get an A.
Right. Yeah. It just, and again, I always say you evaluate a draft 4 years after it happens. Where are people after their rookie contracts end up? Like, you know, people said at the time, people said the day after the 2016 NFL draft, the Steelers did a great job because they addressed their secondary needs. Artie Burns and Sean Davis have stunk. So that's horrible. People said that the Steelers reached for TJ Watt and that Juju Smith-Schuster, why would you get another wide receiver? And James Conner, do you really need a running back? And all three of those guys were hits. And now 4 years later, we're saying like, man, those were actually pretty good picks to help the team with where they needed help at. And again, you know, the guy who we pick, and we're excited for a guy. And even this last year's draft, we're excited about what Chase Claypool did after his first year, but he could fall into a slump. He could skyrocket. He could stay at the level he's at. There's so many different directions these guys could go into. So it's just a reminder that like everyone needs to chillax on what they on what expectations are. You know, evaluate what a player has done, evaluate their track record, and compare that to others, and then say, okay, use that for your reasoning. But don't sit here and tell me because Mel Kiper said that this guy's better than this guy that's the only reason why you're feeding into it, and that they could have definitely waited 2 more rounds to draft so and so. Adam, in your mock drafts, you've done a few simulators. Who's usually the player that you're grabbing in the first round for the Steelers?
I mean, you already mentioned the name, and it's been pretty much 50-50 whether he was there or not, but it's Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. And, man, again, I don't love taking a running back in the first round, but when he's there, I grab him because we saw what it was like when the Steelers had Le'Veon Bell, how much easier the offense can operate at times. You can hand him the football, you throw him the football, and – you know, Ben has had a proclivity for throwing the ball down the field, trying to play hero ball from time to time. But when the Steelers wound up going to the AFC Championship game in 2016, the Steelers, you saw Ben really take off in the second half of the year. They won those 9 straight games or whatever it was, 7 straight games, and he was dumping the ball off to Le'Veon Bell a lot. I just want a dynamic playmaker there. Who's a threat? And I think a lot can fall into place. They didn't have a running game this year, so Ben had to throw it 18 million times.
Mm-hmm.
If you can have a running game, then I think that changes that. Now, obviously, offensive linemen, they can help do the same thing. But I do think, as far as this year's concerned, if Ben turns around and he's handing the ball off to a guy like Najee Harris, he might be a little bit more inclined to actually give him the ball than change some of the plays at the line of scrimmage. So if he's there, I take him. And I realize it's probably not a nuanced enough dude for everyone here listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. But when he's there, he's there. And I'll be honest, I can't sit here and tell you that I can grade effectively offensive linemen. I can't. That's when I talk to guys like Matt Williamson, right? I'm like, all right, Matty, what do you think about this guy? Or I talk to you. I'm like, all right, Carter, what do you think about this guy? I don't know. Okay, pancake the guy 15 yards down the field. That's sexy, but I'm looking at the running back.
Right. You want to see the guy that's making the plays, making people miss, stiff-arming a guy and getting the thing done. And hey, we're football nerds. That's what got us into the business. You know, you're the entertaining guy that keeps people on listening to your radio show for 3 or 4 hours at a time. That's what you do. I can't do 3 or 4 hours of radio back to back right now. That would take work.
But you can talk football to me, baby.
Every
darn day. You know who's there at 24 on the mock draft that I just did?
Okay.
Is Kyle Pitts. And I just think that it would – You wouldn't do that. You would totally do that. But some of these are wild, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what site you use or if we should even pub one here or whatever you do, but
no, yeah, put whoever out there. We can do that.
It's just, I use the Draft Network one. I think they do a really good job. And, but it's funny. Sometimes there's someone there. It's like Justin Fields. I'm like, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Like,
why
let's
not
do it. Let's go. Okay. Fine. All right. You dare me.
dare me. And that's the thing, is that when I do these and when you guys do them at home, like, we're going to get to who won Mock Draft Monday in this next segment. But when we're doing these, I usually try to go with the ones that are more realistic, because there are sometimes, like, I can see Justin Fields, if something crazy happens and he falls to 24, that's not totally out of the realm of possibility. But then when you go to, like, Pro Football Focus's mock draft simulator, you can get Najee Harris in the second round, and you can get, like, Travis Etienne in the fourth round, and I've seen people get Trevor Lawrence with the 20 without trading up for him. I'm like, what is this? Who's doing this to us? Kyle Pitts is interesting, because everyone that looks at him is like, look, he's not even really a tight end. He's actually just a big wide receiver. Like, you know, he if you get him, you're getting a higher graded version of Eric Ebron. That you know, that's what you're looking at there. And he's dynamic, but, you know, that's where teams are looking at him there, which would still be interesting of a first round pick for the Steelers. But like you said, we're looking at best player available. We're gonna keep looking at that. We're gonna pick the winner of Mock Draft Money and go over their picks. But first, we gotta talk to our friends at Built Bar. You need a snack that's gonna both help you get through the rest of your day, but also be good for you. That's where Built Bar comes in. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 18 amazing flavors, including 6 of their newest ones, being caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. There's so much to enjoy. And also, don't forget, they help you lose and maintain weight. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for anyone that's currently on a keto diet. Right now, Built Bar has a special promo code for you to get a great deal on their website. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20. That's LOCKEDON20, all capital letters and all one word. And you'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at builtbar.com. Here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Adam Crowley of iHeartRadio Pittsburgh. Adam, it's Mock Draft Monday time. We've been doing this for the past few weeks. Every week, you, the listeners of Locked On Steelers, go into the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, all 1,200 of you. You can join at any point in time, by the way, and join those 1,200 fans by going on Facebook, searching for Locked On Steelers. Ask to join the group, and I'll add you as soon as possible. But what we do here every, like, on the weekend, on Friday, I post, hey, it's Mock Draft Monday, post in the comments your picks
for who the Steelers should take. And the person who I think has the best picks this week will get on the show. We try to switch it up. So this week we did something different. We put up, I want to see you guys trade. Cause so many times you guys want to trade up, down, trade this, that, that, the third. And I'm like, okay, that's too much. I don't like to do trades in my mock drafts. I want to see the picks as is. Like you know the right way, Adam. But this week I was like, let's open this up. Let's see who can make the right deals. Cause Adam, and I wanted to ask you this. Have you thought about the possibility of the Steelers trading up or trading back? Because trading up could get you a superstar player that you might not have been able to get, but then you're going to lose draft picks or some sort of capital that builds the rest of your team. Whereas trading back, you might think that, hey, we need these players and they'll be around in the second round or later in the first round. And then this gives us more ammunition to find, like you said earlier, fill some of those holes that are in the roster.
Yeah. It's kind of what I said earlier about Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Like, there could be a circumstance where he's there and you're a little surprised about it. And I think he's going to be a really good player at the next level. And so if he's sitting there at like 19 or 20, yeah, I'm going to try to trade up for him. Apart from something like that, apart from the quarterback that falls that I like, that I think can be the next guy, mm-hmm. I'm making all my picks because there's just a lot of holes on this roster. I think the defense is still going to be very good, but they've got a lot of holes and it's not a deep team, I don't think. So unless you can get that quarterback in the future, for me, then I'm trying to keep all my picks.
There you go. There you go. All right. So without further ado, this week's winner of Mock Draft Monday here on the Locked On Steelers Locked On Steelers podcast. I don't know why I messed up my own name, but the person who is the winner is Mark Hoff. Congratulations, Mark. You had some interesting trades that got some really good prospects. He used the Pro Football Network Mock Draft Simulator. I liked where your head was here, Mark. So Mark went in, Adam, he addressed a lot of Steelers needs and he traded back. He got more picks for the Steelers. He gave up the 24th pick in exchange. He was able to get he got the 47th pick, and it looks like he got the 77th pick as well. So he got a second and a third for giving up the 24th pick. And with that first second round pick, he went and got Zaven Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa. Collins is an interesting prospect because he looks like a guy who could rush the passer being an off-ball linebacker, but also can help in coverage and help against the run. You know, there's been middle grades because he played for Tulsa and they're not sure how this is going to play out, but he's a guy that people have seen more and more people like warm up to the idea, because I do think a priority in this draft should be at some point get a guy who could play next to Devin Bush, who's not the Vince Williams type that, you know, goes in and hits the fullback or goes in and rushes the quarterback, but a guy who can help him go sideline to sideline or at least tackle to tackle and then help a little bit, at least in pass coverage. I mean, we saw it with the Buccaneers with Levante David and Devin White having two really good inside linebackers. You're playing off the ball like that, it can change a lot for your defense.
Yeah, it absolutely can. And I should have said this whenever I was talking about the Justin Fields and the trading up or just standing pat. I like Mr. Huff here would be more likely to trade back than mm-hmm. trade up mm-hmm. for the reasons that we've already discussed, just adding a volume of picks to a team that clearly needs to add as much talent as possible. But yes, they need somebody to play next to Devin Bush. And I think Vince Williams might wind up being a cap casualty. Mm. We shall see.
We will.
They're not super deep there to begin with at all.
Right.
They're an injury away from being in real trouble, but even if not, they're in trouble. So addressing that position is something that needs to happen.
Now, with the next two picks, with the Patriots picks, was the second round pick that the Steelers naturally had, and then the third round pick that they got from this draft or from this trade. Going in the second round, he goes and gets Javonte Williams out of North Carolina. I'm a big Javonte Williams guy in this draft, Adam. I feel like him and Najee Harris, if you picked either one, I think both would be a major step up for the Steelers. I almost said for the program. I'm telling you, juggling college sports and pro sports.
Doing too much pit, man.
Yeah, man. It's driving me nuts. I keep saying the program and this and that. And
at least you're not going program. I mean, then you're like a Southern college football broadcaster. You got to do it for the program.
That's exactly what they say. And who knows? I'm covering the ACC, so I was down in Florida twice this year. Like I'm getting pulled that way, so I might start saying I was literally when I came back from Tallahassee, I was doing the Florida State Seminole Chop for a week. I was just
in my sleep,
and like I was just there for a day, Adam, and I was just walking around, and everyone did it. People greeted. It was like when people say Roll Tide for Alabama, they were doing the same thing with the Seminole Chop.
Like
hi, like how are you doing? I'm like, that's not a greeting. That's what's wrong with you. Anyway,
no, and it's racist. I mean,
yeah, that too.
What are we doing?
That too, right? Oh my gosh. But anyways, Javonte Williams, I think it would be a great addition for the Steelers. He's a little younger than Najee Harris, a little less used. I know that's something that a lot of people talk about, but also he's good on contact. He can catch the ball. He can protect Ben Roethlisberger in the pocket. And either one of those guys are Steelers backs. Travis Etienne, not as much of a Steelers back. More Alvin Kamara, more sleek, more fast. That's cool. But I like Javonte Williams here. And then with his next pick, he goes and gets the center position, Josh Myers out of Ohio State. I like doing this. I think Josh Myers in the third round, that's my primo spot for center. You could get a center in the second round. I would not draft one in the first. I don't think there's any guy that qualifies for that this year at that position. But you could get that guy in the second. But you could get two major knees the way they did, in the way that Mark did right here. And then you get your center in the third round. And then you're feeling like, hey, that guy, he could start this year. And if he doesn't, you know, maybe they bring back BJ Finney. They go get somebody else to help with that. But these seem like very reasonable picks addressing needs. And again, showing what you can do if you trade back.
Yes. And I mean, that's three needs. Bang, bang, bang. I mean, that's an outstanding job. If that went that way. No complaints.
No complaints.
I bet Steelers fans might think you need to make your first round pick because you didn't have one last year. And I get it. But, you know, for the first time in a long while, I think Steelers fans need to realize, you know, it's about this year, of course, but you also need to continue to build your program. I mean, you got to keep building what you got here. You do. And it's why, just to go back to quarterback again, like the one thing you can't do is I don't want to see the Steelers draft just solely for this year. And they won't.
Right.
But I want to see them draft. Like if there's a higher upside player versus one that you think could come in and help right away, I would probably take the higher upside player.
Right.
That's what I'd like to see. But, you know, 3 for 3 in filling the holes here in this mock draft. What's this guy win again?
This shout out on the show. That's what we do.
Oh, that's what he wins.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, you got people submitting all these different mock drafts and all they get is their name in your mouth.
Yes. But they also get it on the air. Everyone knows Mark Hoff was the best mock drafter this week. There you go. Yeah, there he gets a round of applause from Adam Crowley, adding to our prizes for Mark here. But, geez, you're trying to put me on the spot here. You want me to send these guys Built Bars? Man, I like my Built Bars. I want to eat my Built Bars. I don't want to send them out to people for free. You kidding me? That's crazy. Plus, postage, like, that's a lot of work today. But, anyways, we continue with the next few picks here. I really like with the Steelers' natural third-round pick, he gets Walker Little, offensive tackle out of Stanford, a good underrated tackle. It's something I've talked to Dale Lally about this year. There's a lot of these tackles that would go in the second and third rounds who would be good starters in the NFL right now, which is why you may not need to be pressed to draft an offensive tackle in the first round unless a super guy that you really love falls to you there. So that gives him some flexibility. Then he goes and gets James Wiggins, safety out of Cincinnati. I love James Wiggins. I think he has great center field range. He flies around. And then a familiar name pops out here, Adam Crowley. In the fourth round, he goes and gets himself Jalen Twyman, the defensive tackle out of Pitt. I know you're a WVU guy, but you look at what Pitt does with their defensive front, and you look what Twyman did before he opted out. That would be a really good get in the middle round. They didn't spend anything to get it, and now they got the guy who basically does what Javon Hargrave was doing when he was with the Steelers.
Yeah, and Look, Tyson Alualu, I thought, especially at the beginning of the year, is really good for the Steelers. But this is a position that they've tried to address with guys like Isaiah Bugs. And my God, Daniel McCullers was on scholarship forever, doing different things, obviously, than Twyman would do. But I absolutely like it. And just to your point on tackle, you know, the Steelers, for so long, the offensive line has not been an issue position.
Right.
And you've seen all across the NFL teams having to reach in the first round to get offensive linemen, but most importantly, offensive tackles. And the Steelers haven't been in a position where they've had to reach. If this draft is, in fact, good enough to where you can get a tackle in the second or third round that is starter capable, boy, the Steelers hadn't had to reach in previous years for tackles. And now in a year where they need a guy or two, they don't have to reach again. I mean, that is a nice fortuitous bounce for Mr. Kevin Colbert.
It would be a huge get for them. And something else to think about, in all the annals of Steelers history, of all the positions where they've had legendary players and they've had legendary offensive linemen, offensive tackles.
This is a great point.
One of the spots they've never had to go get a superstar in. You think about Dermoni Dawson, Alan Faneca, Mike Webster, you know, even Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro right now. But they've never had a super dominant left tackle, right tackle.
And sorry to interrupt.
No, but go ahead.
And he doesn't fit the legendary status, but what Marcus Gilbert was really freaking good.
He was great. I didn't understand.
Should have been a Pro Bowler.
Yes. That man shut down Von Miller twice, two times in the same year, in a year where he went on to be the Super Bowl MVP and carry the Broncos with broke neck Peyton Manning to a Super Bowl championship. Like, that's Mark. I'm right with you. Marcus Gilbert never got really, his flowers. Really, he was really good for his time in Pittsburgh, and injuries messed up his career. But in the 4 or 5 years that he dominated on the offensive line, he was just as important as Pouncey and DeCastro at times. And that's, again, where I think we're coming at this is offensive tackle. If you can get a guy, great, but don't go out of your way and sell yourself short of getting all these other positions that could complete your roster, especially if a guy like Walker Little from Stanford can fall to you in those acceptable middle rounds.
And I do think that Zach Banner is going to be good. I do. The Steelers, he earned the job this year, and then he goes out and he blows it out, right? But I think that he can come back and be a legitimate starter at right tackle for them. I believe in their belief of him. I also believe in his work ethic. So if you don't get a tackle, you know, it's not the end of the world, but if you do, you do. It's good.
I think it's great there. And then Mark finished out these drafts with there you go. He's taking the hat off on the
hair's
on camera.
You're falling out.
But he finishes this out. He gets a cornerback, Rodarius Williams from Oklahoma State. Another Pitt guy, center Jimmy Morrissey in the 5th and 6th rounds. I think Morrissey would be a great fit for the Steelers because he's like B.J. Finney. Not super dominant, would blow everyone off the ball, but he can play left guard, right guard, and center, and he's a leader. He takes everything seriously. He steps up to the challenge. He was a walk-on at Pitt and even won the walk-on of the year award at the end of this season. He fits the bill of a late-round draft pick. Then he gets edge rusher Jonathan Cooper from Ohio State. I think it's good to just get a backup edge guy. If you miss, so what? And then the last pick of the draft, Dez Fitzpatrick, a very athletic wide receiver from Louisville. Saw him make some plays in the ACC this past couple seasons. To me, this was a complete sort of draft where Mark hit on every single Steelers need. Like, this is actually something that would be very likable for the Steelers. Like, this would be a way, if this played out, I think the Steelers would be in a very good spot going into rookie camp this year, saying we've got guys that we can expect. You know, if you miss on a couple of these guys, you've got plenty that if you get hits on, it balances itself out.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, your point on, or just to get back to the offensive line, again, I'm not the guy who's going to sit here and tell you I can give great offensive line evaluation, but what I will say is I know what they didn't have last year. I'm about done, and they will be with Alejandro Villanueva. The left side of that line didn't do a good enough job for me, but I think that Dotson's going to be really good. And, you know, I think just the infusion of youth will help them.
Yeah.
Inexperience, okay, fine. but the infusion of youth will help them, because it was apparent last year that the guys who are a little bit longer in the tooth didn't have it. And we'll see what happens with David DeCastro, because I thought he had an off year, and I think he was going through some stuff mentally. Maybe he's just hit his wall. We shall see. But youth on the offensive line is something I can absolutely get behind.
Absolutely. I think everyone can get behind that. And hey, Adrian Clem, new offensive line coach. He did a really good job working with Dotson last year as the assistant offensive line coach. He focused on him and got a lot out of him. Maybe he could do the same with some more young offensive linemen this upcoming season. Adam, thanks as always for coming on the Locked On Steelers podcast. You are the man. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Check me out on Twitter @_AdamCrowley. Thanks to you for having me on, my friend. Letting me be on this program, and congratulations to the guy whose name I already forgot for winning absolutely nothing. Yeah.
See, why are you going to play Mark Hoff like that? Mark's having a great Monday. He's probably driving to work right now, listening to this episode and being like, I'm walking in, he's going to be clocking in saying, yeah, did you win Mock Draft Monday? No, you did. Get out of here with that. So I don't care what Adam Crowley thinks, Mark. You special to me, man. You special to me. So thank you for participating in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Join that group again by searching on Facebook for Locked On Steelers. I'll add you as soon as I can. Follow me on Twitter @CarterCritiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. You can also follow me on Instagram there. Read my work at dkpittsburghsports.com, where I cover Pitt football, Pitt basketball. They're in the ACC tournament this week. Woo. We'll see how long that lasts. And then also I cover the Steelers there as well. If you want to help out the show, subscribe to us. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts, and we're on radio.com right now. We're making moves, baby. If you want to support us, please leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. Doing so really helps out the show, and you get a shout out at the end of the show, like this person. This person leaves a 5-star review. I believe their name is Fiona 28. I'm sorry if I messed up that name, but it says, really funny and informative. I listen every day, usually during my math class, and Chris really brings some energy to my morning. I live outside of Philly, so I mostly get the Eagles team news, so this is just a super funny and super helpful podcast for someone like me. I look forward to all of my Pittsburgh Locked On podcast episodes every day, but they always have their new episodes out first thing in the morning. They always have a great variety of hosts and guests, so it's really great to see who's going to be on that day. Great podcast, you guys. Definitely give it a listen. Thanks so much. That was a very informative.
Very nice, but hey,
pay attention to our math class though. We need you to get your degree if you're in high school or college or whatever you're doing right now. But thank you so much for your 5-star shout out. That's an amazing shout out. If you want to get your shout out like that, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That stuff really helps us out. Be back tomorrow with Tony Serino for a Tony Tuesday, talking to him about Ben Roethlisberger and so much more. See you then.